Welcome everybody to another episode of Reed's Wrestling. I'm your host, Alan Reed, and today I'll be reviewing the November 15th edition of Raw. But before I get into my review, I want to give my quick thoughts about how incriminating WWE has been towards Survivor Series. As we all know, Survivor Series is part of the big four pay-per-views of the whole year, with Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series. And they haven't had any build-up towards Survivor Series at all. And I mean, and if you call what happened this past Monday a build-up, then I don't know what to tell you, because there has been nothing. It's like they've been treating Survivor Series like it's nothing. Like, it used to be a big pay-per-view and the build-up would be great. You have both Raw versus SmackDown, or you have this person versus that person, and there's been nothing. This past Monday, they had a little bit of a build-up, but it wasn't enough to, let's say, for someone to get interested in seeing what's going to happen at Survivor Series. And with that being said, I want to go straight into my review, with the night starting off with Big E in the ring. He started talking about Roman Reigns. And again, this is what I mean when I say there's literally no build-up to Big E versus Roman Reigns at Survivor Series. It's just, you know, I mean, I guess with what happened last Friday on SmackDown, Big E now is going to quote unquote protect his family after what the Usos did to the New Day on SmackDown. And I mean, obviously, I do think Roman Reigns is going to get over, and I think it's kind of dumb to put both champions to fight right now, unless they would have done it maybe a few months ago. I just feel like, I'm 100% certain that Roman Reigns is going to win. Obviously, he's the tribal chief, and Big E, I think this loss, it might or might not ruin his momentum. I'm not really sure. I feel like it will ruin his momentum. I mean, it's a lose-lose situation. If Big E loses, I feel like it kind of loses his momentum. But if Roman Reigns loses, it will definitely ruin his momentum. Even though he got his first loss on SmackDown, but it was via disqualification, so I don't really count that as a huge loss. And as Big E continue to talk about Roman Reigns, he switches over and he calls out Kevin Owens. And thank God Kevin Owens is a heel again. I'm so happy he's a bad guy. I mean, this guy is born to be a bad guy. He plays it so well. He's so convincing. Every time Kevin Owens talks on the mic, it's priceless. He's so convincing. He's so in your face. I love him being a heel. Don't get me wrong. Him as a babyface, it's cool, sure. But this guy's made to be a heel. So then as Big E, he walked towards the entrance, the Usos jumped in from behind. Which, I mean, shouldn't it have been the head of the table to come out and call out Big E? Yes and no. I mean, I guess it will kind of ruin his whole persona of the head of the table. He sends people to do his bidding. But it would have been cool to see Roman Reigns, you know, somewhere in the arena or even on the Titantron, to kind of, you know, kind of get that intense form here. But it is what it is. You know, the Usos always doing Roman Reigns' bidding. And then the randomest thing ever is that Riddle comes out and he starts attacking the Usos. And then Sonya Deville comes out and calls for a tag team match. So then we have Riddle and Big E versus the Usos with Seth Rollins on commentary. And don't get me wrong, I think Seth Rollins is gold in commentary. This guy just oozes like flamboyancy and cockiness. He is everything he says he is, and I love it. And then the question was, okay, where's Randy? Shouldn't he be out here, you know, with his partner, even though he's not a match, but kind of supporting his partner? As for the tag team match, it was a slow burn. I didn't really find anything joyful about it. You know, Big E suplexed Jimmy out of the ring, and then Big E throws Jimmy to Seth Rollins and punches Seth Rollins, and then Seth Rollins comes in Big E and Riddle for the match. He causes Big E and Riddle the match because he attacks Riddle. So that's a disqualification. And then finally, Randy Orton comes out and he starts to help. And like I said, this was a waste of a tag match. I mean, from the minute Randy Orton came out, I was like, oh, of course, it's going to be a six-man tag match now. It's going to be Riddle, Big E, and Randy Orton versus the Usos and Seth Rollins. And I mean, what a shocker. That was going to happen, right? of course. And then as the match progressed, I was thinking, okay, is Kevin Owens going to come out and cost Big E the match? I was thinking, yeah, of course, why not? Why wouldn't he just come out and make it even more of a mess inside the ring? And then as this for this time, I mean, RK-Bro and the Usos, they are going to do battle at Survivor Series. So I guess this is their quote-unquote way of building their feud up. I mean, it's bad. There's no point in them even fighting. It's more of like, hey, we need two tag team champions from both brands to just fight each other. There's really no substance there, as I would say. And then Seth Rollins, he rolls up Riddle, and Seth Rollins and the Usos get the win. Well, and to my surprise, Kevin Owens didn't come out and cause Big E the match. It didn't happen at all. And I thought it was, but it is what it is. So then we move on to Bianca Belair versus Tamina. And before the match even started, they showed a graphic card of the SmackDown Women's team and the Raw Women's team. And SmackDown Women's team is missing one person, which is, I don't know if I missed it or not last week. I don't even remember if I missed it or if they have been missing one woman. But the SmackDown team is missing one woman. So, and they haven't announced who that will be. So my guess is that it was going to be, well, it's a long shot, but I'm saying it might be the return of Bayley. I don't know why I'm thinking it might be return of Bayley, because it's been 9 months, and she wasn't even involved in the draft. So she is still on SmackDown. So my guess is that it is going to be Bayley. And if it is Bayley, that'll be a surprise return, which I wouldn't mind. And as the match continued with Bianca Belair versus Tamina, it kind of seemed like Bianca didn't really take Tamina too serious, but then Tamina really gave Bianca like a run for her money during the match, because Tamina actually did a fabulous job on keeping up with Bianca and actually kept her down for quite a while until Bianca Belair does a KOD and she gets the win. As for the match itself wasn't really anything special. I think it was more about this match was really more about Bianca and Doudrop, because it seems like Doudrop and Bianca Belair are gonna get a program together, and the storyline is just starting right now. And then after the match, Doudrop does come out and she tells Bianca that after Survivor Series she's coming for her. I think this is a great opportunity for Doudrop to kind of solidify herself as, hey, I can actually hang with top contenders, the top woman wrestlers. I can hang out with the likes of Bianca Belair or, you know, Charlotte Flair or whoever it may be. Because at first, I wasn't really too fond of Doudrop. I didn't really see anything special in her. But as the weeks went by, I actually kind of felt like she was actually improving. And I do kind of like her character now. So, and then we move on to Becky Lynch in the ring. And I'm every time I see Becky Lynch or Charlotte Flair, I still wonder if this whole Becky and Charlotte thing, like this whole Becky and Charlotte feud, is just like, are they just working us fans with their so-called backstage feud or backstage drama? Because out of nowhere, all these claims about Charlotte Flair being difficult to work with backstage come out when she's been here, when she's been in WWE for years, and there was never really any claim of that. And then out of nowhere, this whole title exchange thing started. You know, supposedly Becky and Charlotte Flair got into a fight backstage, and Sonya Deville got involved, and then all these reports started coming out. So I don't know if it's just a way of you know, kind of working the feud, kind of working us fans thinking they actually hate each other, and then they're just going along with it. Because I mean, there are stories about her not wanting to put people over. Or, I mean, Charlotte Flair, she doesn't want to put people over, or you know, there's like a lot of creative differences. Or is it real? Or are they like, are they actually don't like each other and it's actually real? I mean, we would never know until God knows here years later. But as it is, I like it. Gives it more tension, gives it more fun. So I'm happy for that. And speaking of both Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch, I started to wonder, while watching her promo and the ring, her segment, what if we ever get a four horsewoman team? You know, you got Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, and Bayley, which they were the crown jewels, no pun intended, the crown jewels of NXT women's wrestling. Like, these four women are like the top of the top right now. I think it would be a great idea to put them in a team, and they just terrorize the women's division, kind of like a women's clique, like the clique from the 90s, kind of like a women's clique. They just terrorize backstage and they just like rule, or they can rule both shows. They go to both shows. I think it'd be great, something new, something fresh, something that, you know, we haven't really seen in a while, like a new group, minus the Hurt Business and stuff like that, but a new clique. And or I would even put them in a fatal four-way match. That's a dream match right there. You put Sasha versus Becky versus Charlotte versus Bayley right now, with how over all four women are and how more developed they are right now, man, that's a WrestleMania main event right there. A fatal four-way with these four women. I wouldn't even call it a four horsewoman match. It would be great. But as for Becky Lynch in the ring, sorry, I got a little distracted talking about everything that could happen. She's basically gloating about being the best champion of her life, and that she's not going to let go of the title. And then Liv Morgan comes out, and I think we need to start a Justice for Liv Morgan movement on Twitter or something, because she deserves the biggest push of life. I mean, just when her music comes out and she comes out, the crowd gets a huge pop. I mean, I don't know how Vince or any higher ups in WWE don't see how much Liv Morgan is over. I mean, she's probably more over than half of your baby faces. And then Becky Lynch, she actually said something that kind of hurt. She actually told Liv Morgan that she doesn't get enough opportunities. And the crowd got a bit of a pop there, because we were like, dang, it's kind of true right there. And then Liv Morgan, instead of, as we all know, you know, Becky likes to call herself Big Time Becky. Liv Morgan calls Becky a big time bitch. Boom. She drops the mic right there. And that's how you do it. And Liv Morgan, she does have a Raw Women's title opportunity in the future after winning last week. Well, now the serious question is, will Liv take the belt away from Becky? That's a tricky one. I love to see her as champ. I will pay to see Liv Morgan as a champion, because it will be one of the best moments of Raw of the entire year. But at the same time, I don't see Becky dropping the belt to Liv Morgan. At least right now, I don't really see her dropping the belt. There's no way. And I don't even think WWE wants Becky to drop the belt right now. Becky's going to stay champion till God knows when, till Royal Rumble, till WrestleMania, or they might even do a whole Roman Reigns type of thing with Becky Lynch, just be champion for almost a year and a half. Which is just, I think that's the problem. It gets boring. No offense to Roman Reigns, he's a great champion. I love him defending the title, but dang, sometimes I just feel like I wish they would just go back to how it was back then. Like, the title would change hands on Raw or SmackDown, goes a few weeks, he loses it at a pay-per-view, and then wins it back the next night, and then another person wins it here and there, blah blah blah. I just don't understand why they don't do that. I don't know why you want to do a whole 2-year champion reign and or a full 1-year champion reign. It kind of gets old. But I really hope that they see that Liv Morgan is over. She is over with the crowd so much. She is a great baby face and she does need a huge push. And I feel like maybe if you do it on Twitter or something, people, they might notice. So then we have Street Profits versus Alpha Academy, Chad Gables and Otis. And okay, so WWE loves to break up great tag teams. We've seen that happen, and it is going to continue to happen. And there's tag teams that when they get broken up, it's like, okay, I see why they got broken up. They weren't working out. And then there's tag teams where you question, why the hell are you breaking these people up? Right? Okay. So I don't know why. I don't know why they do what it is, but I think Alpha Academy is one of the teams that they should definitely break up. I'm probably in the minority here. I just don't see anything in them. I don't see anything besides, to be honest, I don't see anything in Otis. Chad Gables is the one that's really leading this Alpha Academy team. I mean, I think they're just better off as singles competitors. Chad Gables, I understand he might need this tag team because as a singles competitor, you know, he was Shorty G, which was put the worst gimmick I've ever seen. And he didn't really go far. He teamed up with Otis, and now he's kind of like in the upper middle card around there. And as for Otis, I never understood the push they were giving Otis. I don't know how far they wanted to take him. I mean, with the Money in the Bank contract, I mean, obviously they changed their mind really quick. And as for Chad Gables, it's a lost cause. He has so much potential, don't get me wrong. That guy can go somewhere. He can become US champion, a continental champion, or even more, who knows. But they just don't really give him anything interesting, any opportunities, any good storyline to really show that he can actually go beyond the distance of just this Alpha Academy type of thing. And as for the tag match itself was really short. You know, Alpha Academy, they went back and forth. They went back and forth with Angelo Dawson. And then Chad Gables, he does a crossbody. And then Montez Ford reverses it and pins Chad Gable. And the Street Profits win. Like I said, I don't know where they're going with this Alpha Academy thing. But I can't even say more about it because I don't really know any more of like about them. So then we have Nikki ASH versus Queen Zelina. And again, I'm still wondering what they're going to do with the whole Queen Zelina Vega type of thing. And, you know, she won the Queen in the Ring. Are they going to push her? Are they not going to push her? Are they going to, you know, give her a championship? Or are they just going to leave her as a, hey, I want the Queen of the Ring. That's it. As for the match, I mean, I don't even know what the hell happened. The match lasted like 30 minutes. Zelina Vega, she rolled over Nikki and she gets the win. Which I was kind of surprised. I was like, okay, they're getting Zelina over. That's great. And then it made me wonder, okay, I guess Nikki ASH fire is slowly burning out. She's kind of moving down the card. She's not really as high on the card as she was when she started with this whole superhero gimmick type of thing. But it is what it is. So then we move on to Kevin Owens versus Finn Balor. I love this match. I think this was the highlight for me. Even though it was kind of short, at least I felt like it was short, Kevin Owens and Finn Balor always put on a great show. Always, with anything they're giving. And I love Finn Balor. The guy is great. The guy is talented. The guy is creative. He's a great, great wrestler. But man, I feel like Finn Balor has fallen from grace ever since he came back to the main roster. And NXT, he was there, you know, he was Finn Balor. But when he came back to the main roster, I'm just like, Jesus, man, this guy is just, you know, he's just falling. He's not really getting anything going. I mean, it's not even his fault. It's just the higher-ups are not really giving him anything to work with. And for me, he's a main eventer. We all seen that he was the first ever Universal Champion, and I don't know how they haven't made him champion again. I don't not understand how this guy has stayed without a championship his whole time, his whole career, technically, even after coming back from his shoulder injury where he had to relinquish the Universal Championship. I don't know how. As for the match with Kevin Owens and Finn Balor, it was a great match. It was really back and forth, and there was a lot of false finishes just when you thought one was going to get over. Nope. Kicks out. And then, you know, Kevin Owens, he gives Finn Balor a stunner, and Kevin Owens wins the match, which I understand why he would. And then we have AJ Styles and Omos versus the Dirty Dogs. Personally, I feel like this is the stupidest tag team name I've ever heard. Stupidest and laziest tag team name I've ever heard. the Dirty Dogs. You have Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, two great wrestlers. Great wrestler with a lot of accomplishments. You put them in a tag team together and you give them the name the Dirty Dogs. That is lazy booking. That is lazy. Any a 7-year-old. This is like a 7-year-old tag team name. A 7-year-old and his friends making a backyard wrestling the Dirty Dogs. You have all the experience in the world of making great names for singles people and tag teams, and you decide to name this the Dirty Dogs. I just don't understand why you would name this the Dirty Dogs, but it is what it is. As for the match, God, I mean, almost is in the ring, he is boring. I mean, I don't even know. He does one move and then he just looks at his opponent and then he taunts the crowd or he taunts his opponent. Like every single time, he'll push you to the turnbuckle. He taunts you, looks at the crowd. He grabs you, he'll body slam you, taunts him, looks at the crowd every single time. Like, I get it, you're a tall motherfucker. You're a tall motherfucker. You are menacing. But damn, can you do something else? God, I just don't really see it. And the tag match was, to be honest, the Dirty Dogs, Dolph Ziggler and Rob Roode, they were jobbers in this match. They were absolute jobbers because AJ Styles, he pins Dolph Ziggler, and at this point, I feel like Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode should just go into singles action instead of in this Dirty Dog tag team. I don't even know. They're wasting these people. They're wasting Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler to the point that it hurts. And then we move on to the main event, which I call it the randomest main event I've seen in a while. Rey Mysterio versus Bobby Lashley. I don't know why, but I feel like this wasn't a main event. The main event should have been Kevin Owens versus Finn Balor. This is a random main event. And I'll be honest, Rey Mysterio during the match, he actually for the first time in a long time, I'm saying a long time, it kind of seemed like his head wasn't in the match. He botched a lot of moves and a lot of spots. It kind of seemed like he kind of forgot what was gonna happen, or he kind of forgot what was gonna happen. Like, he botched a 619, and then as the match, he botched a 619 really badly. Actually, he almost fell through the ring ropes. And as the match kept going, I mean, literally, Bobby Lashley was toying with Rey Mysterio throughout the whole match. Bobby Lashley did not take Mysterio seriously. Every time Mysterio did some airborne maneuver, boom, Bobby would catch him and throw him down. Rey could not get Bobby Lashley's number in this whole match. This match lasted, if I'm correct, like 7 minutes. And Lashley, he literally put Rey Mysterio into the Hurt Lock and Rey Mysterio taps out. It was the boringest main event I've seen on Raw in a while. This was a terrible main event. And I don't know what they were thinking about making this into a main event. Like I said, Kevin Owens and Finn Balor should have been the main event. Whatever. And I was literally yawning while watching the match. And I never yawn while watching a match. Unless I'm like really, really, really sleepy. But I wasn't even sleepy during this match. And I was yawning. I was literally almost like about to check my phone and stuff. Because I cannot find anything entertaining about this match. And I love Bobby Lashley. I love Rey Mysterio. Both great, great people. But man, it was terrible main event. Terrible. And I hope they can learn from this. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that's going to review this episode Raw and say that this episode Raw was atrocious. It was bad. But more into that in a bit. So then when the match ended, Adam Pearce comes out and he removes Rey Mysterio from the Raw team, the Raw Survivor Series team. And then Austin Theory comes out and he attacks Dominic. And then Adam Pearce announced that Austin Theory is going to replace Rey Mysterio on Team Raw. I mean, okay. I mean, I can see them. They're giving Austin Theory a push, and that's great. Hopefully he can go somewhere with it. I mean, that's really it. I wasn't really taken aback. I wasn't really taken aback by Austin Theory taking over Ray and stuff. Because supposedly it is official that Dominic and Rey Mysterio are going to go against each other soon. So maybe this can be the start of their feud. Kind of like, hey, you cost me my chance for Survivor Series or whatever. Or why didn't you help me when I was my Survivor Series qualifying match? It could be something like that. So hopefully, I kind of want to see how this would do. And to be honest, I think this would be Rey Mysterio's way of kind of letting his son, you know, letting go of his son's hand, you know, kind of like, you know, like, hey, this is it. You're going to be on your own now. You've done enough. Now it's your turn. You know, I think it would be kind of cool. So as for the Raw and as a whole, it was atrocious. Like I literally said, it was bad. It was very, very slow. Not much of a build-up for Survivor Series or any character development, to be honest. There was nothing entertaining about tonight's show, unless you count Kevin Owens versus Finn Balor and Liv Morgan coming out and calling out Becky Lynch. But other than that, it was a very boring Raw, and I am saddened as a fan because Raw just keeps going downhill while SmackDown keeps going uphill. And I don't know how they haven't changed anything. That will do it for this episode of Reach Wrestling. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.